Some of the more interesting characters in Southern literature are women who go against type. They are memorable because they're neither meek, unfailingly polite, nor exceptionally virtuous. Think Scarlet in Gone with the Wind or Caddy in The Sound and the Fury. Now there is Louise Peppers, the central character in a new novel by author Melanie Sumner. Louise would rather be a Hell's Bell than a Southern Belle. Sumner drew from her own youth in Rome, Georgia, to write the book. In the last of our series on emerging Southern artists and the places that inspire them, Melanie Peoples has this profile of the writer.
Melanie Sumner has spent most of the last 20 years as a Southern expatriate, downplaying her accent and poking fun at her roots. She left home at 17, went to graduate school in Boston, taught English in Senegal and wrote a book of short stories about it, then later reported on weather conditions in Alaska. 3 years ago, she started writing her wickedly funny novel about Louise Peppers, a girl on the edge of self-awareness or total damnation, depending on your viewpoint.
My sponsor, Regina, says I've never had a problem as bad as my solution for it. And that's more or less how I ended up at the Wampanoag County Jail on the night I was supposed to marry Zane Wilder.
Under pressure to conform to her Southern parents' idea of a proper young lady, Louise turns to gin, sex, drugs, and a fire-eating carny named Zane. What emerges is a comic testimony of what it's like growing up white, affluent, female, and Southern Baptist in a fictional town of Counterpoint, Georgia.
Writing it wasn't that hard because I lived so far away from my family and the South when I was in Montana, Alaska, and New Mexico. It was easy to write also because it was funny. I wrote it from a point of almost disinterested humor. It entertained me as I wrote it. Now it's that I'm back in Rome, Georgia, it's not quite so funny.
Sumner is still unpacking from her cross-country move. She never intended to leave New Mexico to return to the South, but last May her husband David was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. His worsening condition, their active 3-year-old, and another baby on the way prompted the couple to relocate to Rome, a former industrial town now known for its medical center and 2 colleges. It's where Sumner's parents still live and where they found her a house.
We were looking for a special kind of a home because of David's disability. You know, we had one to get one of no steps and a nice neighborhood and a fenced backyard. And
Dad just got lost 9 pounds working on it.
Painted the whole inside and cleaned out the gutters.
Melanie's overwhelmed by their support and somewhat regretful about her upcoming book. Her heroine's parents, the long-suffering Henry and flamboyantly religious Florida Peppers, could be fictionalized versions of her own parents. Until now, Melanie's been too nervous to even show them the novel.
Okay, Mom, here's the book, The School of Beauty and Charm.
Oh, is that you?
No.
The girl on the cover sports multiple piercings, a low-cut halter top, and hip-hugger pants. It's not the sort of ensemble reserved for church or lemonade socials on the veranda or for a girl named after the demure Melanie Wilkes from Gone with the Wind. Melanie Sumner is outspoken with a dry wit and a wry smile. She has short brown hair, round glasses, and no trace of cosmetics.
When I was a teenager, my mother wanted me to wear makeup, and I didn't wear much makeup. She felt that we needed to look good for God on Sunday especially, but on any other day as well, and that it was our duty to, I guess, improve God's handiwork. And it seemed that it was almost conceited to think you could wake up in the morning and go out in the world with that face.
A temporary truce was called when Melanie agreed to a high-priced makeover. While her mom raved about the results, Melanie was traumatized by not recognizing herself in the mirror. It's a scene she worked into her book, and one among many her mom may find difficult to read. Along with questioning the Southern ideal of beauty, Melanie's book also satirizes her parents' religion.
Although much of the architecture in Counterpoint has enough historic significance to warrant a plaque, Bellamy Baptist Church was built to appear eternally new. It is beige, inside and outside. Beige brick, beige trim, beige carpet, beige pew cushions. Since stained glass windows don't come in beige, we compromised with pastel, which shine weakly in contrast to the brilliantly colored windows of the Catholic Church next door. Although I had broached the subject of my salvation with Florida and Henry several times, I'd never received a satisfactory reply. "If I'm not born again and I die suddenly, will I go to hell?" I asked. They babbled all sorts of evasive nonsense back at me, but the answer was plain from the worried frown on Florida's face. Sometimes when Henry wasn't around, she'd hiss, "The devil's got a hold of you. Do you want to end up with him in hell?" To appease her, I'd say, "Oh no, I want to go to heaven." But I could only envision endless beige carpet.
Melanie just has a way of really hitting the pressure point when it comes to sex, race, religion, without crossing over into stereotype.
Jill McCorkle is a Southern writer who's followed Sumner's career.
She comes to her characters with this wealth of knowledge. She's so well-versed in those wonderful little details that make up Southern towns. She has such a rich expanse of her fictional turf, wildly varied and yet always occupied with this kind of social manners and morals and taboos.
And Sumner doesn't rely on the usual Southern settings. Inland Board, a corrugated paper factory on the outskirts of Rome, was part of Sumner's real-life turf. Her father managed the plant for almost 40 years, and Melanie spent one summer working on the factory floor, turning long rolls of brown paper into corrugated boxes.
I was the only female working here. I was the boss's daughter. I was a target for attention. And I liked it. I liked the attention, and I liked the challenge. I felt that we were all crossing a lot of boundaries, and that was exciting. This was a part of Rome, Georgia, that I didn't get to see in my everyday life. This was sort of the underworld.
And, according to her parents, no place for a lady. But the experience gave Sumner plenty of material to use with her character Louise, who rebels against the overt racism she sees in the plant. Black workers at the back of the plant, whites at the front. On the day Louise gets the worst assignment, cleaning railroad tracks that lead into the factory, she chooses to defy the plant's unwritten rules. She's supervised by a prescription drug addict called Dopey.
When I had worked my way halfway down the tracks, Dopey emerged from hiding. "All right, we can stop here." I continued to stomp along with my pail, even though there wasn't anything to pick up. The black workers didn't throw things on the tracks the way the white workers did. Growing more and more agitated, Dopey followed me along the edge of the wall. "I said all right now, don't go no further." He took another pill. "I ain't sweeping up no watermelon rinds, you hear?"
Louise, in a symbolic demonstration, continues to clean the entire area. It only heightens the animosity some of the men feel toward her. Melanie Sumner says her own youth wasn't as troublesome as Louise's, though she did feel like an outsider in her hometown. She says writing The School of Beauty and Charm helped her come to terms with the friction of growing up in the South. At 37, she's come to appreciate her parents and accept the place where she grew up.
I thought I had broken off, and I'm back. I just have this sense of the South is that you're tied to it for always, and you're tied to certain traditions, even though you may intellectually disagree with everything, you're part of that family. So you can pull away as far away as you want to, but you won't snap off. You'll be pulled back.
After all, she says, it's that tension in the South that creates so many great storytellers. For NPR News, I'm Melanie Peoples in Rome, Georgia.